a land use application is submitted. This feedback is advisory and preliminary in nature. This meeting is not a land use, This meeting is not a land use review nor a final decision on the project. Commission comments are based on the information provided by staff, the public, and the project team prior to this meeting and through discussion today. Feedback given today will consider the allowances in the zoning code currently in effect. It is possible that the code could change before the land use application submittal, and those changes could affect the proposal. The land use review application will be reviewed based on the zoning code in effect when an application is submitted. So staff will start the meeting today by outlining the current applicable zoning code standards, the area context, and the anticipated approval criteria. The project team will then present their concept, and then staff will wrap up the presentation with topics to prompt commission's discussion. Public comments are welcome. Please be sure to sign in. Is there anyone here who would like to provide public comment? Doesn't look like it, but should that change, any of the four people sitting in the audience, please do sign up. And the sign-up sheet is at the gray wall with the clock. Comments should relate to the applicable design guidelines, the gateway guidelines. So, commissioners, does anyone have a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact to declare?
No.
No.
No. And neither do I. And if that's the case, that means we can turn it over to Hannah Bryant directly, and Hannah will present the staff report.
Thank you. I'm presenting the DAR.
Yes, thank you. Right, this is not a staff report, a land use review. As I just let everyone know, this is not a land use review. Thank you, Hannah.
This is the DAR for EA 19-110611 at 1500 Southeast 96th Avenue. This is the second DAR. The previous one was held in March. I will go through the context again since we have a new commissioner. This site is located in the Gateway Plan District. It is zoned EXD, Central Employment with a Design Overlay. The approval criteria here are the Gateway Regional Center Design Guidelines. The site is 6.2 acres. The allowed height is 65 feet with bonuses that are not relevant to this proposal. And the FAR varies along the site. The max is 8 to 1 along the northern half and 4 to 1 along the southern half. And this proposal is for less than that. This is an aerial to the west of the site. You'll see the max stop at 96th and Main. To the north is Mall 205. Adventist Hospital is to the east. And the Portland Adventist Academy is to the south. And the site is kind of the pink tone there in the middle. Here's the max stop with a pedestrian bridge over the highway. From Southeast Main, and the site is the green fields here on the left. And again, along Southeast Main, it's about an 800-foot frontage, almost 800 feet along Southeast Main Street. So it goes from 96th on the west to 100th on the east side. And here's the site plan. The program is a medical office building. It's four stories on the east, or I'm sorry, on the west side, and then it steps down to two stories, I believe, or one story on the east side. With that, I will turn it over to the applicant, and then I'll come back for discussion topics.
Well, thank you. Tyler Carlson with Clark Just Architects. 621 Southwest Alder Street in Portland, 97205. The address. So I want to start off with just sort of some of the players here. We've got in attendance Medcraft Healthcare Real Estate, who's the owner and developer. We have major tenants being Adventist Health, and as you saw, they're proximate to the campus, and the architects, Clark Just Architects. So I know you've seen this project before, but I wanted to sort of talk a little bit about how we approached this, you know, sort of since the last meeting, and make sure that we're brief with the pieces that probably don't concern you, and we're deep on the areas that do. So We want to talk about context a little bit, a little more than what Hannah discussed, and we want to look at just sort of how the building works and sort of our preliminary planning and block diagrams for the building, and then really focus on open area because we know that's of significance to you guys. And lastly, look at the modifications that have arisen based on the layout that we have. And so, so we went through the zoning. Not a big surprise here, but it just shows that we have a lot of large parcels around us. Our neighbors are institutional, whether it's the school to the south, hospital to the east, and then we have Target and the associated parking that goes with that, Mall 205 to the north. Of course, to the of importance here, to the west we have the Max stop, Main and 96 Max stop, and we certainly will be, it's an important connection we want to make. We also have I-205 really separating this building from any neighborhoods to the west. So in terms of context here, just if we look at the local, I wanted to point out that green is really the hospital hospital property, as well as, and I wanted to dive a little deeper into that. We have MOB 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the north side of the hospital. You can kind of see it if you look carefully, but it's all along Main Street, which is that's the street that really feeds the ambulatory portion of the hospital. So this is a gateway building for really a lot of those services. So to the south, we've got Portland Adventist Academy in the dark blue, and then we have, I want to make note, because it was a little confusion previously, that it's a secure acute care facility in the light blue there, and there's really no connection. It's secure. So basically there would be no connection to our site, I guess is the point there. And the school is in the same sort of category. We're going to be providing us, it's a separation that we need to have between a secure school environment. So just a brief views of the site. You can see on the bottom three slides on the left, we have, those are really the context of the hospital, a lot of brick. And that's not really of consequence today, but I would just get a sense of the future materials that we'll be looking at. We'll be tying into the campus, at least in terms of durability and quality of construction. And you see on the lower right, we have that's Portland Adventist Industrial Arts Building. That's part of our campus, and we're going to take a look at how that's going to, it's part of our site, actually. So we need to really talk about how that really gets integrated into our design process and a part of the future phasing of this project for future development. So building contents, what's changed since our last meeting is we have reduced the building size. This axiometric shows it possibly, but without, I'll show you a site plan later on when we talk about site, but I just wanted to mention, as Hannah mentioned earlier, we have a tower portion or a four-story portion, and then we have a one-story with a sort of a bumped-up clear-story element at the lobby. So that's allowed us to extend this building east and west much, much further and have a better a much greater proportion of the built form on Main Street and less parking on Main Street. So we'll go through that as we move forward. So this is just a quick overview of what we have on the ground floor. We have modified the public entrances. North is the Main Street entrance. So we have two entrances along Main Street, including one on the northwest at 96th and Main. A public entrance into a galleria that is an indoor corridor that will have health messages and other opportunities, but it also serves as a circulation for for waiting areas within the first floor services that we provide. So those services are the pediatrics and also FQHC, which is a federally qualified healthcare clinic, which is similar to, you know, it's primary care for Medicare and Medicaid patients. And the drive to get them on the ground floor was really to celebrate that population. So we are, it's also forced the building a little larger, and but we're excited about what we can do with that. We also have the pharmacy, thinking about sort of imaging, I should say, and then we have two components that are sort of retail on the ground floor. We'll call it a coffee kiosk, and then we have a pharmacy, a retail pharmacy that will also could provide some retail sales opportunities there. And so you see pharmacy is on the north side. We'll talk about the location of the coffee kiosk, but it's on the south, really relating more to a sunny plaza for staff. I think that was a driver for the client. So next page. So this is the view sort of from the corner of, this is the northwest corner of the building, from the MAX station or stop across the street from across 96th. And then another view on Main Street that looks towards the sort of central entry, which is one of two entrances, one on the north and one on the south, that will sort of provide the spine to the building. And it sort of breaks the building between four stories and the one story, the clear story element. So just quickly, second floor, again, the model is on the north side to have, it's a good opportunity to have controlled lighting for waiting, so, or controlled daylight for waiting. So we're, we have waiting upstairs for ophthalmology and for ortho, rehab, pain, so clinics upstairs with central staff facilities on the south side. And then third floor specialties, more clinics on the third floor, and a GI clinic on their third floor. And then fourth floor, ASC, which is a surgery center, ambulatory surgery center. This is an outpatient surgery center, which would is like a quick day surgery sort of. And that we've put on the fourth floor really primarily because it requires, mechanical units and other issues that would sort of compromise other floors. So trying to get shafts down to those. So this, the ASC has been sort of designated for the fourth floor. All right, so let's get to the open area. This was the previous DAR in March that we discussed, and our primary goal here was this connector, something along Main Street that provided a connector for the hospital. That was our intent. I think we missed the mark on this one. Partially because the building really didn't successfully hide the parking well. This plan sort of celebrated parking a little too much, including our drop off that was immediately off Main Street as we come in. The plan was to really reorient the building, try to create as much length as we can to the building. Which we have to look at what works with the standards that our client has and how we can lay these clinics out. But what we ended up with was about 120 feet is the depth that will work most appropriately with the clinics, the minimum depth that we would work with. So that's what you'll see as we move forward into the proposed slides. But again, this was the building is far smaller here too. This is a 116,000 square foot building. We now have 136,000 square foot building. So the building's grown by 20,000 square feet also. So our diagram, I think this is where we kind of landed on the diagram after meeting with Hannah. We have another alternative that we'd walk through with her prior to that, but our mission here and what we heard from the commission, I think, was that we want defensible space. We want space that the users and visitors can actually experience directly from the building. We want to make sure that we don't have unmanageable and, you know, possible homeless issues in spaces that are distant from the building. So we wanted to try to keep them close, and but also allow the building, you know, to view that open space, open area, and also to experience it. So what we've done, and so this diagram really just sort of talks about this envelope that we are creating around the building. It's not sort of a tower in a field, but we feel that there are this space, which is around 60 feet. There are 60 to 70 feet wide. 60 feet, I think, is probably pretty consistent around the building. It allows enough of a backdrop, you know, sort of at the edges to be able to view and experience the space. And so that's our primary open area. And you can see in the northwest corner, we've sort of carved out a little corner of that, of the building, to act as a plaza for and a gateway for our the Max riders as they come across the street and they enter the Aventis campus. We have a secondary open area, which is 1B, which is along 96, a little further south, that serves not as a buffer. In fact, it's not even showing here, but we're not overlapping the buffer and the open area. This diagram is a little tired. I think it needs to be updated, but when you see the site plan, you'll see that we have a separate open area that's parallel to it. In any event, we thought this was a nice opportunity to, at least in the short term before the future build out, to provide a sort of a natural edge to the street. And so this is a street that will be walked by the Portland Adventist Academy students as they get off the MAX line. So it would be a swale in this case, because that's allowed by the open area requirements, and it would offer just an area that would also be a habitat for, you know, animals and birds and other things. So that's the plan on that one. So the third open area you can see hatched below, and I think I should maybe mention here, I sort of skipped over an important idea. We have divided the site into two pieces. One, we'll call it the north site and the south site. So the entire site is about 6.2 acres, and so you can see the hatched area to the south. That is an area that will not be leased by Medcraft initially, and will be available at a later date when an improvement and other investments want to be made to the site, so when a second phase would happen. But what we've done is we've proposed in this case to provide the open area as a percentage of the area that we're improving. So this is 4.99 acres, and we're providing 15% of that open area at this point in the green. So 1B and 1A are part of that 15%, and then the area left in reserve, which is what we're calling the area that's hatched. It's a little harder to see, but it's noted by a number two. It's in the hatched area that will remain open area. It's just we are proposing that we don't improve that at this moment, and that as we move forward in this, you know, for future phases, it would that open area would be located more directly adjacent to the future medical office building. So, and we could, we'll have an additional parking structure because due to the density required for parking on the site. So that's one piece of really our proposal, is thinking about how we could stage this open area in a way that we wouldn't be improving the first phase, and we would be improving the open area for the southern lot, but we would leave it in reserve. So this is the site plan as it in our current form right now. It's we have focused on creating as much adjacent open area to the building as we could, which If you look at the built, if you, the open area on the east side of the building, what we propose there is a healing garden that really connects the street to the rear plaza. To the south of the entrance at the drop off, we have a staff and patient plaza there. As we move further to the west, we have areas where we have staff respite areas for seating for their own dining purposes, for lunch or other opportunities. But and then I think in the northwest corners we talked about before, that is also considered open area due to its size. We can fit a 20 by 20 box in there. That would serve public and Max Riders as a sort of gateway, as we talked about. So, so this is a this was a previous iteration that we had before we met with planning, and we wanted to pass this along. I think if we bounce back and forth between them, I think the idea is to was to extend the building as far as we could to the extend the building to the 50% of that street frontage, and that's what we've done here. So we're meeting the parking street frontage and making it 50% or less, and then we're really combining as much of that open area as we can and making it adjacent to the building itself, trying to accentuate that healing garden that we talked about. So, and then I think we should just touch on modifications and how this building has changed a little bit and what we have proposed for modification. So modification one is really about modifying the aisle depth from 20 to 18. And to do that, actually in doing that, we were able to increase the width of the open area at, adjacent to the building and just to the west of it. And then the same is true on the lower open area. We were we're trying to maximize open area. So in both cases, we've reduced aisle widths. Modification two, this was just one that we may or may not need, but the setback is I want to say 12 feet from the allowable setback is 12 feet in this particular pedestrian enhanced street. So we have a little deeper setback here, and we just like to we think it provides a usable and more desirable outdoor space for that gateway that we talked about on the northwest corner. And then modification three. So this vehicle frontage issue is something we've solved on the north side, but it's something that we cannot solve in the first phase because of this the L shape of our site. So we are asking on both the east and the west sides to see if we can get a modification for that. And in doing so, we propose to add additional bicycle parking, whether it's both additional covered and secure parking, long-term parking, and additional short-term parking. And I'd see I think 16 of those are covered under the canopy. And then modification four, building frontage. Again, this one is we are not meeting this. This is required 75% frontage on this street, due again to the size of this lot, the L shape of it. We're challenged by that, but what we are proposing is that as a means to try to mitigate that is to improve increase the percentage of active edge along Main Street to 30% of what was required. So and that's it. We do have this is a future build out, sort of a vision how we do get to 75%. Again, the idea is that that building and that building, the building area will, or frontage will be over 75% at that point.
Thank you. Are you done?
Yeah.
Did the buzzer didn't cut you off? You actually
No, I think,
are.
I think
you made it through? Okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay, all good. Hannah?
All right. Wait for the slides to show up here. Okay. So I'm going to review a lot of the same things the applicant just did. Going along with the staff memo that you received last week, the primary focal points for today are the open area, the parking and vehicle area, and the applicant has specifically asked that we do cover a little bit on architecture or provide some feedback on whether they're moving in the right direction or we see any, you know, any issues that we want to, them to address for the land use. And then the four to five modifications that have been identified. The open area was a primary focus point in, or for the conversation at the previous DAR. Staff's opinion is that it continues to be an issue. That the previous DAR, we heard that the open area should be aggregated. It should be really a meaningful, occupiable space adjacent to that Southeast Main Street, the enhanced pedestrian street, and that it should be a space that both contributes to the public realm but also is really usable for people who work in this building, visitors to the building. There should be views out from the building, so it really should benefit in as many ways as possible. The open area is required to be 15% of the site area. It has been aggregated to be more around the building. It is not yet demonstrating that it is creating occupiable spaces that are really places unto themselves. So staff feels like further design development here would be appropriate. It has some concerns around the open area that's serving as effectively a parking lot buffer between the highway and Southeast 96th and a parking lot. Parking and vehicle area, this is really just a refresher. There's no minimum parking required here. There is a very high allowable parking for medical office buildings in particular in Gateway. That was something that was kind of negotiated with Adventist when this code was written. The previous proposal had 374 parking spaces. The current proposal has 400 parking spaces. As I noted, the applicant has requested feedback on architecture. I listed a few topics here that I don't have any strong concerns about, but I thought that they could kind of help to trigger some conversation. Massing, articulation, canopy coverage, entrances, corners, and materials. Modifications. As covered by the applicant, there's a request to reduce the parking aisle width. The purpose statement is listed here. It's parking area layout standards are intended to promote safe circulation within the parking area, to provide for stormwater runoff, and provide convenient entry and exit of vehicles. So just a reminder that the modification approval criteria are twofold. One is that the modified standard must still meet the purpose statement that's being modified, and it must better meet the design guidelines. So as we discuss this, it would be helpful to me to hear which design guidelines we feel that the modification is better meeting, or in which how they could better meet those to get into an approvable design. Modification two, increased maximum building setback. As noted, this deeper corner plaza stemmed from two things. One, from the previous DAR, where some commissioners noted that a more special architectural element of this corner might be warranted, since it is to better respond to both the highway and the MAX stop, and thus that enhanced pedestrian street. So in a meeting with the applicant, we suggested potentially deepening this corner plaza, which they've done. But it does mean that they're now not meeting the 100% length of the ground floor that must be within that 10-foot maximum setback. So staff has no concerns with this modification, but would like to hear your thoughts. Vehicle frontage limitations. The applicant covered this pretty well. They are meeting the 50% maximum on Southeast Main, but they're at 100% on Southeast 100th and at 71% on 96th. Number four, required building length on Southeast Main Street. We discussed this last time and the commission didn't have any concerns. This is a kind of a funny code requirement that requires that 75% of the street lot line is building. And in this case, based on that 800 foot almost lot line, that would be a very, very long building. And so the commission didn't seem to have concerns about making this be a 600 foot long building. And modification number five, this isn't technically a modification, but it's something that has been identified as a request in the submittal that you received, and that is around phasing the open area. And staff doesn't see a path for this outside of the Gateway Master Plan process. And adjustments to the quantity of open area required are prohibited by the code. So in terms of phasing of this, we don't really see a procedural path for that unless the applicant chooses to pursue a Gateway Master Plan. And with that, I have not yet received any comments in writing or email or phone calls related to this. So I don't know if there's anybody here to talk.
Okay. I don't think we have any public comment today. Okay.
All you.
Okay, thank you, Hannah. Do commissioners have questions for Hannah or the applicant?
I do. I guess I have a few. Regarding, I'm assuming that this has to meet parking, code for parking layout. If I read these plans right, they are combining 18-foot drive aisles with 14-foot stalls. Is that not what I'm reading in these plans? I ran across that somewhere.
No, that's not correct. There's 16 foot with nose over, so I think that's the.
Okay. Because I was in the era of pickups and SUVs, I was wondering how that was going to work. Okay. I got a question for the applicant, but I'll wait. Can I do it now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Has your traffic studies for 400 cars, is it coming back and saying that you have to have 3 points of vehicular entrance?
No, and in fact, what we're showing is one exit and two entrances. So, and one entrance already exists off of 100. So we're really adding one entrance.
And that's Main Street?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Main Street your primary entrance exit?
Yeah, that's correct.
And is 96th exit only?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question for Hannah. Based on that, the last piece that you talked about, the open air requirement, Hannah, and that you don't see a path to do what they're planning on doing, did I hear that correctly?
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Sure.
I'll answer your question first. I don't see a procedural path, but there is a fee in lieu option also. So that does not require. So there are options to not provide all of it at once.
Huh.
But in terms of deferring it outside of the master plan, that wasn't something that's spelled out in code.
Is that on?
Yeah,
okay.
That's on.
Got it.
So we presented a memo to staff, and what our idea was not necessarily to not provide the open area, but in the requirements for the open area in the Gateway Plan District, it lists quite a long list of things that you can do in the open area, and landscaping is one of them, as well as recreation, creating special places, all of the things that Hannah mentioned earlier, stormwater facilities are also included in that. So, you know, when we were here before, we spent a lot of time trying to talk about how, you know, if we're only really developing half the site and the rest is parking, how do we make the open space allocation fair for the future phases so it's not all just glommed up next to the one building? So the idea was to not provide the open space, but just to provide the open space as landscaping with no actual amenities in it, based on what's in the Gateway Plan District. And landscaping is listed as something that's allowed as the open area. So we thought if you could just provide it as landscaping with the the idea that when the rest of the sites develop to an urban density, that open space gets to be moved closer up onto Main, where it's more relatable to the future building. So to us, it didn't seem like either an adjustment or a modification. It seemed like a design decision where you could say, okay, they're meeting the standards of the open space because landscaping is allowed, and condition it that landscaping moves with later phases of development. And I don't know if you guys want to respond to that at all. If that,
we'll come back to that after everybody gets through questions.
Okay.
We will canvas it well during discussion, no doubt. Okay, Sam, other questions?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I didn't quite understand modification 3. Is it the parking area that isn't meeting, it's got too much square footage on the frontage of the lot, or?
I'm sorry. That's exactly it. That's the vehicle areas are adjacent to a transit street. When they're adjacent to a transit street or a street in a PED district, and this is a PED district, then no more than 50% of the frontage on any street in this PED district may be used for vehicle areas.
So it's on 100th and...
And 96.
96, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. We're limited to 50%, and we discussed this with staff, that actually if you look at the site plan on 96th, the vehicle area is counted all the way from the end of the building to the southern edge of the site, because even though we have, you know, 300 feet of open space between 96th and the eastern parking lot, the fact that there's parking, we still have to count that as vehicle area. So we're closer to 50% if you were only looking at the parking lot itself, but the way the code is interpreting vehicle area, it's everything from the south of the building to the south of the site.
Hannah, so on that topic, what else, what other than a building can be placed along 96th that would be an adequate screen? What other elements does the code support?
The code does not support anything else. But you guys can. So this could be something that, is justification for a modification, whether there's, a certain depth of landscape screening. I met with the permit review team because I would have assumed that 100 or 200 feet of open area would count as sufficient screening. But the way that this will be looked at during permitting is everything that is not a building will be counted toward vehicle frontage.
Okay.
So I do see that there, some of this a modification may be warranted with whatever combination or depth of other things that we put together, but for permitting purposes, we will need a modification.
So, Hannah, when I was reading your memo and looking through the materials from the first DAR, and kind of refreshing my memory about the discussion that we had that evening, do I understand correctly that the open area that is along 96th, that lives between the parking and 96th, that is, for all intents and purposes, double dipping right now as both open area and buffer?
I don't have more detailed diagrams than what we have in here. So the applicant did point out today that he felt like the diagram was inaccurate and that there is actually perimeter parking lot, landscaping, and open area. It may be double dipping in terms of stormwater management, but that is listed under open area as something that can be allowed. Stormwater treatment.
Julie, you talking about this one right here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go to our site plan, it shows the buffer separately. So so you can see there's a hatched area.
Okay. Okay, got it.
It's 25 feet deep, 5 feet of landscaping, and 20 feet of open space.
And that open area is active stormwater management?
That's our proposal.
So that's like a real swale. There's some topography to it. It has landscape elements that set it apart from other landscaped areas on the site. It is a thing that is identifiable as a thing.
Correct, yeah. And we want to make it special, right? I mean, we want to sort of make it a habitat, but also serve the stormwater needs of that lot.
So, Hannah, I have a question for you on this topic. If they better met by either increasing that swale and definitely on 96, had more of a substantial buffer between the parking and therefore better met C4 developed complementary parking areas.
Yeah.
Would that be enough justification for the modification?
That's up to you guys.
Okay. But I mean,
I think so. I mean, I think that we already discussed this and it seems inevitable that a modification is going to be required, just based on the length and the size of the site. But I think we just need to discuss how deep does that landscaping need to be to sufficiently serve as something that's really making it not be vehicle frontage.
Okay. I have one more question.
So do I. You go ahead.
Master plan. And this is both for Hannah and the applicant. Master plan. You are not proposing a master plan. Why not? What is the impediment to a master plan?
We spent a lot of time. We've been gone for 4 months, and half that time we spent trying to find a different way to phase the open space. And what we were told by staff is that when the comprehensive plan designation of the site was changed from, I believe it was, residential. It was residential, and it was changed to EXD. There was a condition that was added to that comp plan amendment to require housing on the site. And what we were told is that if we wanted to go through a gateway master plan, we would have to get rid of that condition of approval to be able to master plan it. So we believe that down the road, the owner of the property fully intends to go through and clean up the site and get rid of that condition of approval because they don't intend to ever build residential. And what we were told is at this point, it's no longer required. It would be a pretty easy comp plan amendment, but it is a 12-month
process. It takes a lot of time.
It was kind of a non-starter. Okay. We also explored trying to do a partition, trying to do a property line adjustment, trying to this phased idea that's not a non-starter.
Yeah.
We looked at changing the conditional use master plan of the site to the south. So we've explored pretty much every option and every one of them has turned into a roadblock.
So in fact, what is shown here is a property line between the industrial arts building and the new smaller site. That's kind of an imaginary property line. Okay, got it.
Can I go back to mod 4? And Hannah, you said something about what we said last time that it took me a second to sink in. You said we were comfortable with a 600-foot, what did you say?
So in order to meet the code standard, and I have not been able to find out the intent of this code standard, why code was written, if it's a mistake in the writing or if there was really an intent, but the code is requiring that the building must be 75 feet of that street lot line, which in this case is an almost 800-foot lot line. 75%. So that in order to meet that standard, their building would have had to be 600 feet long. And we, I think collectively all felt like that was not a reasonable requirement.
Good. I just want to make sure I heard that. Right.
Thank you for clarifying.
And as I remember the discussion, it was really all about that's an acceptable mod if the open space is great. Make open space that matters. Hey, I've got one more question. This is about PBOT. Has PBOT taken a look?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I'm wondering about how the access from Main, the access to the parking lot, almost aligns with what appears to be either access or street. Mm-hmm. On the north side of Main, and I know that if that's actually street, PBOT's general response is that's too close. It needs to be more offset. Parking. It is parking, so it's parking to parking, and PBOT doesn't care about parking to parking?
It is a good question. PBOT has not seen this most recent submittal in the last 10 days.
Okay.
So the driveway has been shifted over following a discussion that I had with the applicant, the driveway shifted over to the east, and PBOT has not seen this. Okay. So I will circle back, and I will make sure that if there is any concern, that the applicants know that right away.
Okay.
Bring up page 10.
You switched to the applicants.
Or parking plan has a big 10 on the corner.
The parking plan?
It's this one.
Yeah. That's where I saw 8'6" by 14-foot stalls. Oh. It's written all over the parking plan, and that's where I got concerned about the... You clarified it. You meant 16-foot deep stalls, I'm presuming.
14 to the wheel stop. Is that what you mean?
No. Yeah, that's still too short for a lot of cars, even with a 2-foot overhang. So I'm just concerned it's laid out at 16, but it just says 14, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, so commissioners, if there aren't other questions, let's talk about context. And Hannah has given us some prompts. So open area, is it meaningful? Is it making places? Is it for the public and employees? Does it create views? Is this open area the best open area that the Gateway Plan District envisions?
I think it depends on what you're counting as the open area. If any space around the drop-off is, there's a lot of the space that was kind of highlighted as open area that is really leftover parking buffer space.
Right.
Children's play equipment, picnic areas, landscaping, benches, paved walkways or trails, gardens, organized sports fields or courts or other outdoor amenities. Yeah, I don't see those spaces as being outdoor amenities. They're really buffers. For me, in order for it to qualify as open area, it really needs to meet what's written or the intent of what's written.
So where are you talking about specifically? Sorry.
33.526.240.
I think that the drop-off is certainly not, that's not an open area. And what we'd shown is just a diagram of where, how the open area wraps the building. So I agree that does not meet the letter of the law. The area that we show, the 15% that we're showing, does not include the drop-off and doesn't include, parking or loading or any of those other pieces. The idea was just to try to create as much of a contiguous, meaningful volume of space around the building, and that diagram it illustrates that, instead of really showing you every little nook and cranny of where the open area is. So.
But I think, Jessica, I think your point, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think your point is that, this might be open area, but this, by nature of being surrounded by drop-off, that's questionable. It may meet the dimensional requirements for an open area, but in fact, programmatically, it's functioning as parking, which isn't necessarily supportable.
And the area over by the trash enclosure
and over here as well, which is just, it seems to be
left
not,
over.
There's no meaningful engagement between people and that space. There are no views that are enhanced by that space. It's simply landscape attached to a building, which is a great thing, but it's not meeting open area requirement.
Right.
What about the surgery discharge space?
I mean, that's
kind of an odd one too.
That as well, yeah.
The parking there, that really serves more as a parking buffer.
Yeah.
In my mind.
It's really just the healing garden.
Right.
And then the open area to the south.
Right. That's pretty much it there.
My impression is I think the applicant probably wanted to get a read from us on whether this kind of general arrangement of parking and building orientation was going in the right direction. And I don't think it doesn't feel like they put significant time into really detailing the design of that open space. If they could get a positive direction from that, I think they could put a lot more design thinking into that. I mean, it feels like it ought to be maybe a series of garden rooms and, you know, have some enclosure and security around it. I have another idea I'd like to throw out and put your seatbelt on. It strikes me that if this is the primary entrance, the biggest parking lot in the site, everyone is forced to cross the traffic coming in and out of there, out of that. So everybody that gets out of their car has to cross all the traffic that's coming around through here. What if, I don't know, this may not be possible to get an inbound turn here, but what if you could eliminate that vehicular entrance, develop this to be more of a primary entrance and try to get more function out of that, allowing this open space to be unencumbered by vehicles traveling across it. And it would mean, you know, you have pretty direct east and west access into the drop-off area and then back out. And furthermore, when you add a building here and even more parking here, to have all of that circulation going to parking, crossing across this open space, what could happen with that future building? And I'm actually quite comfortable waiting until the future to meet this frontage requirement. I think they can do that with the garage and this future MLB. But if you could do that and not have that vehicular traffic running through that open space has the potential between those two buildings to really be positive,
yeah,
to really have programmatic stuff flow out into it. Right now, I'm a little concerned. This is an imaging center, and I don't think imaging centers have a lot of windows or doors going in and out of them, which means that people engaging in that open space will have to come back out the entrance here. It's not insurmountable. It could still be that open space could be designed to make places for people to go out there. It's just not as direct. But I just think, you know, somehow, and I understand where this is coming from. We're required to make those kind of pathways through parking lots now by state code. But it just strikes me that all this vehicular traffic coming in off of Main Street, if that wasn't happening there, that open space could have a better chance.
Well, it has another advantage. You know, that 18-foot drive aisle, I don't think is going to work.
You could stretch it out.
Well, you can pick up another 10 feet because I think you're going to have to. I mean, 18 feet just isn't going to work.
Yeah, anybody it's really tight.
SUVs and all the rest of it, you can't really park in that.
Yeah.
You know, they're longer than 16
feet. You get away with it with 60-degree angle parking, but yeah, I think it's going to be very tough with 90-degree.
Angle parking, you can't get as many cars, so you got to go with this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's something to think about.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea, and we should, as each commissioner kind of puts their ideas out there, respond to that, please.
No, the 15%, does it include this, and this?
Everything that has the dash thick line around it. So if I read the plans correct, I don't know what my thing is.
That's correct.
It's this guy.
Yep.
This guy, that guy. And
this guy too.
That guy.
So, and then also at the northwest corner too. Yeah.
The northwest.
Where's the northwest corner? This one.
Yeah.
The plaza.
So it takes all that to get to 15%.
15%.
Yeah. So some of that's. Well, does it open area? Can it just be landscape, or does it have to be usable open area?
So the code section is pretty clear. Open areas are parks, plazas, or other similar areas approved through design review. These areas may include improvements such as children's play equipment, picnic areas, landscaping, benches, paved walkways or trails, gardens, organized sports fields or courts, or other outdoor amenities. Open areas do not include areas used for parking or loading or landscaping within parking areas. So landscaping is on that list, but it's one element in a long list of elements.
Yeah. So some of this is kind of suspect, like that type of stuff, and maybe some of this too, the trash enclosure.
Well, we didn't. I don't know. Maybe we're reading it. It can be one of those things, but it doesn't have to be all of those things.
Oh
right?
No, I don't think it has to be all.
Exactly. So no, we feel that you know we've given opportunities for you know parks, trails, you know, like I think like Commissioner McCarter said, we feel if we get enough direction on where you want to go with where, yeah. where this, what's acceptable, I think we can get landscape involved and really dive in and meet some great spaces with this. So,
So Jessica, you weighed in. Brian, you put out a really great idea. Don, what do you think about how open area is provided in this plan? And also, what do you think about Brian's idea of kind of really focusing here and understanding that that will be an open space that is well used by two buildings in the future?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And there could be some good connection, pedestrian connection between these two spaces, two functions, one, this one, and possibly going into, I guess, there's no entrances on this side of the space. Yeah. But at least it could be an enclosed space that is usable. I mean, it's sort of an interesting place to go out, and you have to wait for a while. It's kind of
it's got
nice
good solar orientation, I think.
Yeah.
And it's 60 feet is enough to actually do something with.
Yeah,
and I
healing
think
garden type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That starts to make sense to me. And I guess this, could read as open space with the drain swale. And certainly that one doesn't, and this is kind of suspect in here.
Okay, Sam?
I don't know if they can do it. I mean, but what Brian suggested makes sense to me. I mean, I think if you can consolidate as much as possible in this location and then put a sort of a spine of circulation along this edge somehow, you could even eliminate some of this and create some parking back there, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it just takes some of the chopped up area. I mean, it still keeps some of this. Oh gosh, where is my...
Keep some of what?
If that pink area became replaced, what's not really that all that usable there.
Yeah, so maybe this is okay. You know, you kind of circulate into a smaller garden there, but then you've got the big one there that goes as far as this. There's a circulation spine along, you know, whether it jogs, maybe it does jog. I mean, sometimes the most efficient way of parking is always start with the perimeter. So maybe the perimeter gets parked and this thing actually lines along this axis. And then you put some additional parking in this direction here. Just fill that out or fill some of that up with park. You already started, but maybe there's a way to make that more efficient. I don't know. You've got the loading back there too. So I think that makes the most sense. I mean, I do agree that it's a little chopped up as it is right now. Okay. I do think, by the way, I mean, in terms of, you know, direction that you're looking for, I think that, you know, the move of extending the building, I think we talked about it last time. I think that's a great move.
Great. It's great. Yeah.
And I think.
Thank you.
And I
works
think,
well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. It, you know, you, so it helps a ton to get there. I think it's a matter of how to organize the site a little differently to create a more meaningful open space.
Okay. Chandra, your thoughts?
Let's see. There's my dot. Is this like the pedestrian side and this is the vehicle side?
No,
it's two-way.
One's
wider than the other.
I see little people here in a few places.
Those are actually, I think, lane arrows.
Yeah.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Lane arrows. Yeah, what we have is...
Even when I'm looking at it right here, it just looks like people.
Yeah, two one-ways, and the one on the exit has to be a little wider because we have traffic backing into it, so...
Okay, gotcha. I think in the last iteration that I saw in the packet, there was, you know, there's the sort of long park right there. And initially, I liked the idea of kind of making that connection back to the hospital because that's where a lot of people are going to be coming from. But I think that connection can be made, you know, when the architecture of this new building kind of comes in, right? You can make those visual connections and those physical pedestrian connections through there. And so I think I'm
I'm getting it. I'm sort of liking this sort of large area right here. I am really concerned still that there's not any connection between the interior and the exterior, and if that's used as sort of like a wall of the garden, that it's more of an enclosed space, and I think you have to treat it much differently. Maybe it has to be a planted wall or something. It just has to be really obviously part of the garden and not just a garden that's up against a blank wall, because it's just going to feel like it's not complete, or it's not as well thought out as it should be, and it's very prominent on Main Street. It's going to be really visible. And then I think that, you know, once you get here, that makes sense that there's a pedestrian sort of crosswalk to get into the parking area. But here, I think it starts to get a little bit confused. You have to go all the way around the drop-off to kind of get back here. It just seems like maybe there's not, you're really restricting where pedestrians are going. And I think once you resolve the open space and concentrate it even more than it is now, I think that will be less of an issue. I do think that Brian's thought of, you know, making this the main circulation, I think that that does make sense. I don't know if it's feasible or not, but I like the idea of it, because I do not think that 18 feet for the drive aisles will work. It's very hard to park. I don't go to a lot of medical office buildings, but like Fred Meyer parking lot, it's very hard. If it was more narrow, it would be much worse. And I understand there's a lot of cars here and a lot of folks who just need to get in and out. I don't think that is going to work, unfortunately.
Jessica, I want to circle back around you and solicit your opinion on the idea of expanded healing garden with access to the parking only here and here, and then the space living between this building and future building.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Consolidating that open space absolutely meets the purpose statement of the requirement. But I will say I agree with the concern over effectively a blank wall.
Yeah.
Fronting onto that space, that's going to be a problem.
So, but the commissioners who were here for the first DAR, we did have a lot of conversation about, you know, maybe that open area needed to be more of a private garden area rather than a public area. You know, is that a design problem that needs to be solved, or is the fact that we would then be relying on this future building to really do all the heavy lifting around windows and access, you know, both, you know, physical and visual, is it putting too much on that future building?
Applicant wants to.
Can I make one point? We do have windows on that wall, and even though it's an imaging, center, it's a women's imaging center as well. So there are opportunities. You know, we want to bring light into that space. We'll have offices along that wall as well.
Okay.
So it's not like it's not devoid of windows.
Well, the pharmacy and the pharmacy is right in that corner. Yeah. So.
Right.
I think
the pharmacy is right there. So it's not. I mean, so if, yeah, with some.
I mean, Hannah can tell us whether this meets the intent of the gateway thing. I think this thing has a better chance of being successful if the hospital can kind of capture it as their space and not being just open to anybody and everybody. If it can be more
gated,
the public more looks into it as visual space. But I think if it's ambiguous about who owns it, who belongs to it, you know, security, then it sometimes won't, you know, then people coming to the hospital maybe won't feel as comfortable using it.
It can be lit at night also.
Yeah.
So
it should feel really secure and defensible. All the SEPTED kind of stuff should apply to it.
I think having windows open into it so that it isn't putting the burden on that next building is going to be critical. I don't know that I would support an open space that was totally not, you know, accessible to the public at any time of day.
Okay.
But I think that having it adjacent to the building and having a lot of windows and, you know, the building could wrap around it a little bit more, certainly. The building could extend further and hug it on two sides. So I think that there's a fine line there, but I do think that the intent was to provide some landscaped open space that the public can do a little more than just see from a distance.
Okay.
So Tyler, question to you. You know, do you see a path forward around eliminating this access eliminating this access, still I'm not going to get it right.
Access.
Because it's almost 7. And expanding this open area and just having parking access through here.
Yeah.
You can have all this back.
Certainly, I think we can do that. I'd have to talk to our team to make sure we're all on board, but I believe that's very doable.
Okay.
We might adjust. I don't know if coming in that same entrance is appropriate. We might have to add a new one or something, but we'll have to figure. There's like many axes here that are shifting, and just we got to work it out. But I think I like it. I like the idea where it could go.
So we're going to go on record as saying, given that there's no master plan, but there is a plan to put another building here at some point in the future, this makes really great, meaningful open space, both now and in the future.
Yes.
Okay. And then that means from this point back, which code defines as parking, we are happy to have the parking. But then what does that mean for this? If you can fit this in over here, no problem. If you still need this here, it needs to be quality open space.
Well,
right?
I would say that if this idea could work and we can largely meet our 15% requirement, I wouldn't be opposed to that being a little less width and don't count it as open space, but count it as very robust L5 parking lot landscape screening.
Open space has to be 15% and it's not adjustable. Am I right, Hannah? So if they may have to use it.
Well, if they do, then it's fine the way they're proposing it.
Okay.
I'm fine with it that way too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then kids walk by from school and all the rest of it. So having some green space is kind of nice.
Okay. So this is going to be really meaningful now and in the future. And this is going to be what it's going to be.
Eventually, okay, there'll be a building there,
too. We still have
a
modification there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still a modification there.
Right.
That we have to find a guideline that better meets the requirement for the exact.
It struck me that someday when I'm even older than I am now, and they come back.
Is that possible?
When they come back for the parking garage, we'll be talking about the ground floor of the parking garage. What kind of active edge can that provide? But I'm pretty comfortable with the modification of what they're showing now, with the anticipation there will be a building edge there someday.
So we're going to come back to mods and roll through the mods one by one, just to be sure we cover it well and that you have certainty when you leave the room, or as much certainty as you can get out of a DAR. Okay, open area. Good one. I think we've covered that. Parking, vehicle areas, and I think we have covered that pretty well as well. We'll come back to the 18-foot drive aisle. Architecture, massing, articulation, canopies, entrances, materials. Everybody weigh in on architecture and quality and permanence issues, please.
Did they show the actual building up on your presentation?
Yeah.
Okay. So is this the current one or the prior one? Or is this one and the same?
It's up on the screen.
It's one and the same. Just the difference. Look, it looks very different.
Yeah, it looks very different. It looks like two different buildings. So,
well, you're just not seeing the lower section off on the image to the left. It's there.
Plaza, and then this wing sits down here.
So this is corner. So this is all concrete here, and there's some brick infill in this area.
Maybe it's better. Can you give it over to me again? Okay, so yeah, what we're looking at is the on the base we've got brick, we have metal panel wrapped columns there at the base as well, and we have also metal panel at the corners.
So
yeah,
that's
metal panel, metal louvers, and then we have some ribbed metal that's at that taller corner element. Yeah, that's
all still metal panel.
Yeah, metal panel on that one. So brick and metal panel is our material.
And then didn't you have a shot from down here someplace too?
Well, I feel it's well articulated generally. I mean, I guess the thing I'm struggling the most, but I don't see a solution, is the internal corridor instead of a canopy. And I get why. I mean, they're not going to be able to look at a lot of those spaces inboard. So I don't know. I'm struggling with that. I mean, on the one side, I think it's okay. It's a reasonable solution. But am I going to feel that if I'm walking from one place to the other, I can walk through there, or is that a building I'm going into? Here, so I'm coming from, I'm coming from this whatever from across the street.
Yeah.
From the Max.
From Max.
And then I'm going to the hospital.
Yeah.
Do I feel that I can walk through there?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Building.
Well, it's a corridor.
For the building, not for the general public.
So then, is it active?
If there are a lot of people walking through there.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the dimension of the space. How deep is that space? Is it actually deep enough to have seating and more than just
super deep, isn't it?
Corridor activity.
Well, yeah, it'll be a 10-foot wide corridor, but you know that'll include some seating along the windows as well.
Doors then, into
no doors. So this the way we're going to organize the waiting areas is that. There'll be open waiting areas with dividers between them. So you really have the security is created at the edge of the department, not for the waiting. So we really want to create as much, open space. And that's that 25-foot requirement. I think there's something in our package that really shows how we're trying to attain that. But showing the depth and making sure we keep that as open as we can. So is it active? I think it meets the active requirement. It's waiting for all these departments. So there'll be a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah.
So then the question.
I think that goes back to what's happening at the street. Is
right.
there a canopy?
Then, is there a canopy? I mean, I think from a compositionally and massing perspective, I think it's good. It's articulated. It's fine. It's just what's happening right here along that edge.
Yeah.
Okay. Other commissioners on quality and permanence, architectural coherency issues, and please, weather protection.
I absolutely feel like there's no reason why there's not a lot of canopy on that facade.
On this whole long side.
So 300 feet of canopy you're proposing? So I'm just I'm,
a lot isn't a number. It's just an idea.
The canopy. I agree with Jessica that there should be canopy. I mean, the guidelines are pretty clear on the need for weather protection. It needs to make sense with the architecture, and you've got a pretty clear architectural expression here, and it seems like it would be fairly easy to integrate canopies. And this one needs to be special. The rest of them are just about movement, right?
Yep.
Well, he referenced the kids walking up this street, 96, is it?
Yeah, 96.
Don't look at it.
Yeah, walking up here, it'd be nice to have a little canopy protection for them, I would think. But, this form seems overly complex to me. It's got some simple elements, like this one is kind of clear. But then what's this one doing out here? And do you really need it? And same thing over there. And maybe it could just be a simpler, cleaner form. And I thought also, you mentioned that two-story space, gallery-type space in the center of the building. Yeah. I mean, that isn't, it's right back there. That isn't emphasized on the outside much, but that could be a nice element to focus on also.
Yeah, you can kind of see it on the slot. I think we do need to accentuate that question about it. But
You don't really sense it from out here. Though
okay.
You do have a canopy in that area, which is good. But again, it's an organizing element that could be kind of effective for you.
So, Don, you're saying that entry from Main Street needs to be more prominent.
Oh, much more prominent, yeah, because it's one of your design ideas, so take advantage of it and make it part of an organizing principle in the building.
Okay.
And then, yeah, boy, I think you got almost too many things going on here. How do you simplify that? I mean, this is an entirely different building. And then this is an entirely different building, and it's got different windows, a different pattern, and what's going on out there, too. It can be effective putting different buildings together, but I think you've got to do it pretty artfully and pretty carefully, or it's just going to seem overly complex and not getting you where you need to be on just in clarity and coherency. So, you know, and then this one, is this a two-story building, and this is a one-story building?
Well, that's just a story and a half, just a little clear story to sort of create a little better street presence there. At that whole slot becomes really the or that little building indent there is really about the entry. Yeah. So, yeah.
But this is a good way to separate this mass from this mass with this whole entry thing. Take advantage of it, and then maybe these two might want to look like they belong together. The lower part of the structure.
Sure.
I agree with that. I think that I'm just going to speed this up a little bit.
You're going to beat this
up. I don't have a pointer anymore. I don't have
a pointer. It's way past. That's your bedtime.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really appreciate this stepping down and you stretching out that mass because it does so much to help this street. That's fantastic. But this being, it's not that the facade is totally different. I think it's that this mass is different from this mass and it makes it read like two different buildings, or actually it turns into three different buildings. Whereas if these roof lines were the same, you could still glaze this, which is fantastic. Transparency is always great.
No, that's the strongest part of the whole facade, I think.
Be more alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe
you're off to a great start.
Maybe this ought to reflect what's going on there more, and this is the intermediate piece kind of connecting, the connector piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that would be really clear if the sort of smaller one-story portion were more like the three- or four-story.
Because this is really the nicest part of the whole building with all this glass, people sitting. Is that on the inside or outside?
Both.
Yeah, so that's a real positive.
Yeah, that's
so nice.
Brian?
I don't know who to agree with here. Hey, we're going off in five different directions. I think the effort from the last time has been really positive.
Yep.
Stretching out the building. I'm in support of the modifications for the two setback areas to create a little bit more public realm on the sidewalk at the corner at the mid block. I think those are good. There's quite a bit of depth on the other rendering. If you click back to that, there's quite a bit of depth going on with the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
Planes coming out, going back, so it creates a pretty interesting facade. I'm kind of agnostic on whether to have to do canopies along that whole front edge or if the gallery could be made. Maybe if we see a little bit more in a building cross section or something next time, see what that gallery space is like. If you're walking along it, you can look into waiting areas and seating areas. That might feel like it's okay.
Well, it's active use.
What's that?
I say it is active use.
It is active use. And they've gone to a lot of trouble to push a lot of the active stuff up along this more elongated building, which I really appreciate. Go back to the other rendering. This is hard to give so much disparate direction, but I wonder if maybe this building could look a little bit more directly derivative of that building and let that one be different, an element that sits in it that's white. It's got the signage, it's got the canopy, it's got the taller glass. Let that read as the special distinct element of the main entrance from the street side. And I appreciate the urban street treatment here with the street trees and walking behind the trees. And I think that those are all good moves. And as a matter of fact, I think the streetscape, well, we're not doing public realm yet, or are we doing public?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, public realm.
I think wrapping around the perimeter of the site the way you guys have treated it as a urban street edge with people walking behind the planted trees and planters, having a protection from the traffic, I think is strong. So all of that is really good moves.
Okay. Proposed materials, does anyone, do any commissioners see anything that they find in any way not compliant with guidelines?
No, it's fine.
Well, I think they're fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's gotten much improved from our last year.
Yeah, I'd like to see more coherency somehow in the composition.
Okay, and I think we have a majority of commissioners in favor of canopies.
Yes.
Brian said he's agnostic. Jessica's a yes.
I'm a yes.
Chandra's yes. I'm yes.
I'm wondering if that wall can just put, I mean, this 10 feet or so. So is it possible to push that back just slightly?
We're looking for weather protection. Yeah,
create
right?
a little bit of weather it's, protection.
We're really looking
on
for
the,
weather protection for pedestrians.
Pedestrians, not for people who are. Just
no.
Right.
I'm saying, but if you push the walk.
Oh, then you walk
under something. I mean, even if it's just a couple of feet, 2-3 feet, just to.
If they want to do that. Yeah.
Can I say something on the canopies?
Yes,
Southeast
please.
Maine is an enhanced pedestrian street. So there are, and it's one of just a handful of mapped enhanced pedestrian streets in the city. And so there are a bunch of requirements around benches and planters. It already requires more public amenities.
Okay.
There's two bus stops along this frontage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that whatever we do really needs to make sure it's serving the public realm.
Yeah, gotta be special.
This is the highest pedestrian classification of any street in the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, canopies could kind of help this whole facade here too, which doesn't feel particularly pedestrian friendly at this point. And that could really soften the whole thing and also sort of bring the building down to the ground a little more effectively here.
And yeah, I agree with that.
So use it to your advantage.
So it sounds like, you know, massing is great. Articulation, the architectural expression can be simplified. Folks like generally the idea of this being separate, being called out separately, a different architectural expression than the this wing or this wing. These two might be more similar. Continue to develop what's happening along the streets, especially Main, and the fact that this is an enhanced pedestrian street. So canopies, furnishings, all the good stuff that goes along with the enhanced pedestrian streets. The plaza at the northwest corner, Brian has said green light on that modification. Is there any commissioner that would push back on that plaza?
I think that erosion is a good thing.
Yeah, it seems really great.
It solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, that mod's a slam dunk.
I'm going to say, since we have to say this, even though it's not a technical gateway location, it does better meet C2 enhanced gateway location.
Yeah, I agree. And so we're going to run through the mods really quickly now and be sure that they're tied to a guideline.
Okay.
So modification number one, reducing the drive aisle from 18 feet to 20 feet. I don't think that there is support for that.
No, I definitely don't feel like that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm worried about it not working.
Particularly some elderly, maybe 5
minutes. He bikes everywhere, so he has no problems.
How are we ever gonna park a car in there, Brian?
Okay, so there is not majority support for the drive aisle depth, so let's table that. The setback from 12 feet to 25 feet at that plaza at 96th and Main. Jessica, you already cited C2 enhanced gateway locations, even though it's not an official gateway.
Right.
I agree with that. Yep. Modification number three, the amount of visible parking, the length of the visible parking on 96th and 100th.
It's temporary, correct?
I can try that if the open space that we've all talked about a lot today can become really successful, then I think that kind of can relieve mod 3.
Yep.
But we need to tie it to
a guideline.
Doesn't meet that for me. I think if they can more successfully screen the parking from 100 from the streets that are in question, then they would better meet C4, develop complementary parking areas.
Better screen the parking.
Yes.
So you're just talking about a simple landscape screen?
The 96 is already there, right? I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
It depends on if it's to an L1 or L2. I'm talking like L5 or L100. Yeah. It needs to be seriously lush and beautiful.
Like a forest.
Well, yeah. You've got it.
You mean rainforest, jungle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Standard.
Oh, boy.
Well, 96 is going to be pretty good. It's got the drain swale, so That can
be. But 96, I think, is there. The question is, what do you do on that?
What about this? Is there, the swales are typically a hole in the ground. With
right, but you can do something on the edge, right?
What about this?
Okay.
Guideline A1, strengthen the relationships between buildings and the street. We have pushed really hard on this applicant to lengthen that building, make a better presence on Main Street. They have done that.
Yep.
That, from my perspective, means that there's a lot of give on this frontage and this frontage.
Agree.
But how does giving them not having to have frontage on that, those two streets?
Highest priority. Because it's...
But how do you get to better meeting the guidelines? Having less... How does that better meet the guidelines?
Because it didn't at all meet the guidelines before. There's a modest amount of program here on a massive site.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
You don't have to make a decision today. It's a DAR. We're really trying to get your comments
okay.
and your concerns.
We think we can get there.
And we could count those as if we have to, but we don't have to figure it out tonight.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
We are all good with the frontage on Main, right? Being at 50% rather than 75%, because 75% on a site that is 780 feet long is preposterous.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And there's not really a mod number 5, which is about phasing the open area. Okay. Hannah, is there anything we didn't cover or anything that we could provide clarity on for you? And then we'll ask the same question of the applicant.
I am all set.
Okay. Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, thank you. I think we've got a lot to work with. So does this mean we're moving on to the design review?
I think you're moving on.
Are we
to the
ready?
LUR. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in again. It was really productive.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. Okay, folks, it is 13 minutes after 7, and we are adjourned.
Thanks.
And Julie.
As you're leaving, make sure you look for an email from Laura tomorrow, perhaps, or sooner. We're looking to just confirm attendance for the rest of the year and the regularly scheduled dates. We've got a few commissioners responded, so there'll be a shaming email going out. To-